No, it is.
Well, it is.
No, it is. Does that mean we've got to do this all again?
Yep, take two.
Bloody hell.
John, how did you pinch your finger?
So just for the record here, we've just been talking all about our scars in various different places. So I've got a bruise on my fingernail at the moment, and I was showing off the fact I had my little pinky finger top of that chopped off when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And Simon was showing various bits of injury.
Yeah, I had a scar on my index finger as well.
You got that one.
Stanley knife and balsa wood at primary school wasn't the best combination.
And you got your shark bite?
Shark bite, my hip replacement scar, which was like 9 inches long, but I'm not comparing sizes of scars.
I was going into the dangers of lino cutting and my mate Eric slicing open his palm.
Yeah, I could add another one.
Blood
everywhere. My mate doing some DIY, I think it was sort of one of these circular saws, like a skill saw type thing, and he was cutting some batten, and anyway, it caught and it dragged his hand towards him and he slammed his hand against what he thought was the edge of the work surface, only to look down to find out that he'd actually severed his index finger and it was hanging off by a thread, basically. And they've managed to sew it back on in Bristol.
So better than, hang on, I need to work out the relationship here, it's my wife's cousin's husband.
Yeah.
So
okay.
My cousin-in-law.
Cousin-in-law.
Tony. In Australia, he runs a framing shop, and he's got a chop saw.
Yeah,
and you know, after you chop for a while, it all becomes so easy. Yeah, straight through his fingers.
Off.
Yeah. Oh, so they sewed somehow. I can't remember. Tony, if you listen to this, you'll have to sort us out. But they put one bit on one finger. So I don't know if he's ended up with the tip of his thumb on one finger and tip of a finger on the other finger, but one way or another they've sewn bits back on.
Bits back on.
So he's got finger edge.
He's still got all the fingers.
No, sucked. One's missing down to the knuckle.
Oh, crikey.
He's
not a guitar player.
Don't ask him to hold your cigarette.
He's not a guitar player. Or
not so much.
Piano?
No, his harp playing days are over.
All right. Doctor, yeah.
So we didn't mean to get to talk about injuries straight in there. It does remind me, when I was at uni, I used to walk, so I was at Leeds, and there was just a park called Woodhouse Moor, which maybe once upon a time was a moor. And there were always loads of tramps hanging around in the park. And you know me, I'd be sort of, I'd walk along and I'd start chatting. Chatting, because
like you do,
you know, always up for a conversation. And this one said, "Do you want to see my scar?"
And you, of course, you said,
I don't remember actually having a chance to say no, actually.
Yes.
And he pulled up his shirt and he had this huge gaping kind of open, not obviously a hole, but where a hole might have once been, in his side. And I was like, I mean, what do you say? Thanks, mate.
Did you continue the conversation, or did you walk away quickly?
Appreciated.
Did
you show me that?
For a recompense for insurance? Was it sort of like, was there a fee?
No, there was no blame.
There was no fee involved.
No. I feel quite good about that.
You gave me some money, of course, though.
I can't rightly remember. I think I was a bit flummoxed.
I'm sure you did.
I possibly did.
I'm sure you gave him something.
I possibly did. I'm a bit of a soft touch when it comes to
a week or something. You probably put him up in your student accommodation, knowing you.
So,
I imagine.
Yeah. No, I didn't go that far. It's always tricky, though, isn't it? It's always tricky.
Yeah, it's difficult. How are they faring? You know, the people on the streets at the moment. I know this is a bit of a. Because no one's carrying cash.
No, I know.
So how are they getting by?
I know. I mean, what I do. Is because the guilt kind of, if I don't give something, there's a bit of staying power on the guilt, so when I get home, I'll stick some cash in a charity pot for, you know, whatever.
I bought Gordon coffees and whatever. I mean, it's only, you know, it's nothing, isn't it? But it's a bit of a weird one.
It just reminds me of, someone used to live in our village, what's his name now? Matt. Hmm. Lovely young lad. Completely ADHD.
Yeah.
So always, you know, full of energy, always rushing on round and so on and so forth. And he said, "Oh, I've started drumming." I was like, I'll tell you what. And so, because I know a few wonderful drummers, yeah. There's a drummer I know called Ian, and I just emailed him and said, couldn't spare a couple of drumsticks for my mate, who's, you know, it's possibly the what's keeping him on the straight and narrow right now. And yeah. and Ian said, really kindly, I don't know, sure if that's the right term, he said, well, to be fair, drumming was what kept me out of prison. So here you go. So I gave them to Matt, and he drummed for a while, and that certainly was a good
time. Out of prison.
Yeah, I mean, he's working for the council now. He's doing all right. You probably see him around.
Similar.
Yeah.
What council?
The Sirens.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's in the trucks. He's driving the trucks. It's dangerous.
Okay. I might know him.
Yeah.
Possibly.
He might do.
Yeah, I know a few.
Anyway, we're podding. We're back on podding. Yeah, there you go. We're straight in there.
Just for the purposes of where we are, we're in the middle of a pandemic, apparently. Second wave, possibly. The president of the United States of America has
tested
positive this morning as we speak, as is his wife.
Indeed.
So that's where we are. So it's all kind of been a bit, at the risk of boring everyone, weird.
It's been the strangest time. I mean, we can talk about how it's, because you've been working right the way through, haven't you?
Pretty much, yeah.
But you've had stuff going on.
I've had odd
in your
weeks.
Life,
yeah.
As well.
I've had odd weeks. I've had a fair run of work. It's not really because I work on my own, so it's not really affected me in that respect. I've just been going slowly, more and more insane, I think, just talking to myself whilst building walls or pointing houses or, you know.
And that's the really interesting thing that I found. I feel fantastically lucky to live in a relatively isolated part of the country.
We still seem to be okay here, don't we?
The level's low and probably the level's bumped up in the towns. And yeah. I'm not spending much time in towns right now, so relatively low risk, although, you know, touch wood and following the wind and all that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I found it's just been like a long, slow drive into the sand, you know.
Yeah.
It's like I feel I've kind of walked into the desert, and then the boots just got heavier
and heavier,
there was a point kind of probably around major. I'll tell you what did happen. I got really into kind of, right, I'm going to get fit, I'm going to do all kinds of, you know, and I was learning piano, and I was running every day, and I was doing 5 minutes of jumping around every morning. And then I did a couple of half marathons, so this was May.
Yeah.
And I got to the end of May, and I just thought, blow this. And the whole thing just dissipated, the whole thing just vanished.
I think it's two camps, isn't it? It seems to be two camps, as either the ones that have or the ones that have not, sort of, they've gone, like you did there, they've gone full on, all out, do everything, several things, and all there's the ones a bit like me that have intended to, but haven't actually done anything, honest. I've been writing a little bit of a few words, recently that is, but prior to that, I mean, because we're in a band together, I've not picked up an instrument since, the last little bit of a...
Are we in a band together?
Yeah, we are. We're in Plucking Different together.
Blimey.
Seems an age ago, doesn't it? But of course, that's all stopped, and we did do one video, right, well, you did a video between you and Dominic in the band, did a video which was brilliant at the end of it, but seemed to be fairly time consuming and stressful to do.
Oh, the one with Carol, the nurse's one. That was lovely.
I think people's hunger for, or appetite for online videos or on, seems to have dissipated a touch, don't you, or not, or is it still a...
It's difficult to say. I mean, I can't speak for them. I just know that you kind of go into a routine, and the routine isn't going to be all online, is it?
No. Well, do you click on anything? Do you watch things? I mean, I know I don't. I haven't been. I did. I might have done it at the beginning, you know, but I'm not interested. You want the live thing, don't you? Really?
Here's the thing. Not deliberately, because at the start it was kind of, Ah, oh, there's no live music. Ah,
right,
oh, yeah. Someone's put a live, a stream out. I'd better watch that
because
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And they do it on a Sunday evening, for example. So there's someone local, Stephen, fantastic pianist, singer, plays at Teatro in Manchester, connected to the Barn Theatre. Superb guy, Stephen Reed Williams, toured with some of the greats. Leo Sayre, he's played with.
Yeah.
And he was doing a thing on Sunday. He was like, I was watching that.
Yeah.
Another mate of mine was doing some DJ set. I was watching that and the banter. And then there's the stuff we've done, and there's the stuff, so Hugh's done some stuff, etc. Yeah. And then after a while, I thought, I wouldn't normally watch these things. So I just kind of, I'd normally just sit and read a book or.
Or you'd be creative in your own.
Get on with my own stuff. So I felt it was.
You want to support
a bit
people.
Artificial, but at the same time, I want to support people.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, obviously, people are putting stuff behind paywalls now, and I'm quite a... Which I don't blame, obviously, because you've got to make a living, but like Nick Cave did something from... I can't remember where it was exactly, a venue, but it was just him and a piano. Mm-hmm. It was behind a paywall. I just couldn't... I mean, I love him, but what I'll do is I will buy, because I know there's an album coming out of it, so I'll just buy that album. I just can't be... It's not the same sitting watching someone, online. It just doesn't do it for me. I just find it. It doesn't grab me.
Right. Well, here's the truth. So I've invested, not very much, but more than they would have got from me. To be fair.
Yeah.
A few quid a month on Patreon.
Okay.
So there's Martin Gretsch, who. Who I think is a fantastic artist. He did an advert for, or Sony picked up on, it was the one with all the bouncy balls going down the hill in San Francisco.
Jose Gonzalez playing the...
No, you're right. Okay, that was Jose Gonzalez. Which advert did Martin Gretsch do?
Sorry for you.
No, you're right, you're right.
That was
that...
Sony, wasn't it?
No, that was...
I only know that because I'm a massive Sony fan.
I actually... bought the CD of that one with the video.
One good
video
track.
They all sounded the same, didn't they? But they were all good.
But that one track was great.
That was amazing.
It was a great track.
Yeah, but we digress. That was a great track. Making that video, you see them sort of lining up all the balls.
Yeah, and they let them go. Yeah,
fantastic.
You were trying to clear up after all that, but it was a great video. It's for TV, wasn't it? Sony Bravia, I think.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
I know far too much about that for some reason. I don't know. It worked, didn't it?
Anyway.
The campaign worked.
Clearly, because I remembered that rather than Martin Gretsch, who did an advert for something else, which I can't remember.
Which will come into your head, I'm
absolutely.
Sure.
I'm giving him a little bit of support every month.
Yeah.
The Black Feathers locally.
Okay, yeah.
So I just few good a month into them.
Yeah.
And fantastic people, fantastic music.
Yeah.
Not able to tour.
No.
Really, really hard. But here's the truth, I've not actually listened to anything that they've
done
recently.
No, well, you're adding your support. I mean, you're putting into the Patreon, then it's.
But it's a bit like, you'll know this with your poetry. It's one of the things that you kind of find out when you do something creative is you then join the bunch of people doing stuff creative. And if you think of yourself as a recipient of that, as a consumer of that, you don't automatically go, oh, I've got to listen to all that stuff because it's what my mates have done.
Yeah.
You listen to what you like.
Yeah.
And if so you're not going to listen to stuff that isn't going to rock your boat.
No.
And if you want to watch a film on a Saturday evening, you don't go, oh, best watch that film that my mate made.
No.
You go, no, I want a French film tonight, or
exactly,
an action film,
exactly,
or whatever. The consumer side of it is...
It's weird, isn't it? Because I, as you recommended, that I go on that poetry society, the local poetry. I won't name it, but I'll hold my hands up. I don't read any of it. I'll post on it. But that we all tend to do that, I guess. Maybe I read the odd one, but I don't. I don't know. I don't.
It's like
a release for
player.
Me, really.
Yeah. So.
You just put these things up because you want adoration, don't you? You want people to go, yeah, I like that.
But you have to separate the producer element from the consumer element, and I think what I've found over the past 5 years is I'm driven to create stuff.
Yeah, just put it out. Is that with you or not?
and just put it out there. Yeah. But and then I kind of want everyone to, because obviously it's it's performance. Yeah, you know, it's otherwise it's tree falling in the forest.
Yeah.
But equally, then as a consumer, then it's entirely my choice. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to listen to your stuff just because you've listened to my stuff. Why would I?
No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to be interested.
You've got to be
invested in it, haven't you? Otherwise, you're not going to. Because I'm terrible for sending links to albums, and I bombard you with them ordinarily on a Friday.
Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
God, that was depressing.
Didn't like it.
Oh, I loved it.
Oh, but I love it. Flaming Lips. What's it called? American Head. Flaming Lips, American Head. There's a recommendation. It's really very good, but it's quite, as John said, quite depressing.
I died in a car crash. Sorry, Mum.
One of my favourite ones is when he's talking about the robbers. He says, one of the lines in it is like, the robbers were quicker than I thought they'd be, or something.
Yeah, no, that was really, the one.
Really infantile, sort of.
Yeah.
But because it's the Flaming Lips, I give him some grace on that. I sort of.
To me, it was like the Eels, the bloke in the Eels, having a bad day.
Yeah. Well, I think his name's Wayne Coyne. I think he has ingested an awful lot of LSD and.
Going over to Susan's house and Eels. Then got killed on the way home by.
Eels, so they do one of their tracks, lists. Or was it Novocaine for the Soul? Is it Novocaine for the Soul? Was one of theirs?
It is, yeah. I'm just trying to remember how it goes. Susan's house, I got Monster and Me. How does Novocaine for the Soul? I can't remember. But yeah, it's a great song. No.
Yeah, you know it.
Novocaine
for the Soul. Yeah, no, that's sort of the stuff that I lean towards. Well, I listen to, I think I sent you a link to it already this morning, actually. Robert Plant's new old one, I think, is a collection of old songs and maybe.
Oh, wow.
It's good. It's really what I listen to it on the way over. That's my thing.
He's quite esoteric, isn't he?
So. Yeah. But then again, I listen to a pod of him, Digging Deep, I think it's called, which is something to do, I think, possibly linked to the album, I imagine, where he basically goes through his songwriting process, and it's all a bit, I find it all a bit, you know, I can't think of the right word for it, but I just really up himself.
Right.
You know, it's not.
Interesting.
He's from the Black Country. He's
the Black Country?
So is he?
One shouldn't mock the Black Country accent, and I'm genuinely not. But it is a great accent.
It is. But the heavy metal roots has it.
Yeah. I mean, it's some
the heavy industry.
Superb bands came out. Yeah,
but that came from the heavy industry, didn't it?
From the steam working class. Business. Yeah, absolutely.
I was listening to a podcast about poetry yesterday by Frank Skinner, and that was just part of his from there as well.
I mean, to be fair, it's a bit like, you know, any arts program. It's kind of people that just kind of say, well, I wrote this song because, you know, my mum was having a tough time at that time, and it just kind of inspired me to kind of sit down and write for you. And then other people are like, well, of course, on the south bank of the Seine, it's the known understanding of the genre that the, you know, and it's just like, who are you people?
I don't get that. So that puts me off trying to write a song, really. Because I think, well, surely I should have some sort of a deeper, esoteric, you know, understanding.
Yeah, it's just about my mum because she wasn't so well.
Basically, yeah. Why can't we just do that?
But I think most of them are, you know, it's just that,
they
are. You know, or, you know,
in your songs,
unrequited love or whatever.
So where do your songs come from? Because you, if you
that's a really good question.
Songs
so
and sing songs and.
What I've found actually is that writing songs is a really great way of getting stuff out of your system. And the best way to write a song that gets stuff out of your system is to just sit down with a blank sheet of paper and let stuff get out of your system.
Yeah.
And then see if you've made a song.
Yeah.
And not to go, oh, I want to write a song. Yeah. What's that going to be about?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the same with poetry, but essentially you've got to let it come out as opposed to try and kind of. Yeah, like cockles and muscles.
It falls out, basically, with me. It kind of falls out. Whether it's any good or not, I don't. It's neither here nor there. But when I write a poem, it falls out of me, basically. I've got to write it there and then. It's got to come out, and it's got no real structure. It has got it has got a rhyming structure to it or a beat to it, or I try and make a beat to it. Whereas when you're writing a song, I don't understand personally how to, that's making that leap, structuring a song, because you know, you've got to have verse, chorus, verse, you know, I find that quite difficult to grasp.
Yeah, I think the answer is that there isn't that clear an answer, and that's where, you know, if you try and get pretentious about it, it all falls apart almost immediately anyway.
Yeah.
But some songs are going to nicely fall into that.
Well, that last structure that you played me, I really, what was it called? Okay.
It's called, I can't remember. It'll come back to me.
You might have to put it on the end.
I'll put it on the end.
But it's got a real...
Remember When.
Remember When, yeah. We couldn't remember.
Remember when we had some dreams many years ago. That one, yeah.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. It's got a hook. It's like there's a definite structure to it, whereas some of your songs that don't have that structure. Not that that's a bad thing, because I'm just talking about the Flaming Lips. So he's talking about robbers being too quick and he got killed. So
I love music with a narrative, and I think that's why I'm quite enticed towards the prog rock side of things. But not I don't actually care about prog rock, but I just really like music with a narrative, and it happens to be there's a lot of that over there.
Prog,
Whereas a lot of people that wouldn't necessarily count in that class of music are also fantastic. And that, I mean, jazz, I always used to think I hated jazz, and I kind of still don't get a lot of it. But when it takes you on a little bit of a journey, even when it's instrumental, I'm like, oh, I'm prepared to go there. Let's see where we go.
Is it John Coltrane? Is it? I downloaded one of his seminal albums. It's all about a bit in the background. Yes, you know, but there's no words in that, so.
No.
You only said jazz, sorry.
But for some reason I'm reminded of you're taken somewhere, aren't you? You're immediately going, where's this going to go? I'm like,
you'll go with that.
I'll have a ticket. Let's see where this ride takes us.
That's kind of what I was like with the Flaming Lips, because it's sort of, it's weird. It starts weird. Although my daughter, I was playing in the car the other day, and my daughter said, all these songs start the same. They all sound the same. Which maybe they do. From the, you know, because I want to, because I'm invested in it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear something, or I hear something. Whereas she's not. She just hears, perhaps she just hears it for what it is. It's
that's, maybe, I mean, interestingly, I've found a really, say it for the record, I've been working with Dom, obviously, from the band.
Yeah.
And we've been writing songs for a musical together, and also with Val for the musical. But also, I've been doing other stuff with Dom. And what I found is, I had this probably 3 or 4 years ago when I was just writing music by myself, that it all ended up being pretty much the same song. Right. And you get someone else involved, and almost immediately, maybe if Dom wrote lots of songs, they'd all be the same song as well. But you put two people together. And suddenly you get something that is automatically going to be different to both. Maybe, but it's going to draw on both. It's not a bad shout.
Maybe we need to give that a go.
Well, I put some of your stuff to music before.
Just
for a lot.
Yeah.
Mr. Goat.
How do you emote?
And Val as well. She's done a great job of taking some of my words and putting them, and saying, nah, I know what this needs, and writing. And I'm like, where did that come from? Whatever I've inspired, carry on. I've no idea.
Actually, Dan Belling did the bassist in our band.
Troop.
Yeah, he put one of my songs to one of my poems to music, actually, and that. It's almost unrecognisable, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When somebody does something like that, you think, well, that is like fair play, that's brilliant. But then it's a process. It's a process I really, really want to get involved in. I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm having this thing with this COVID. This era COVID thing, this era nasty pandemic like thing. it's made me, yes, I want to do loads of things, and I've got loads of good ideas in my head, but carrying them out, and it's not because I'm scared, I just can't get the motivation to do it, if I'm honest.
I think motivation's being beaten out of us, isn't it, at the moment?
I think so, yeah.
Well, yeah, you can do anything you like as long as you don't go out, you don't do this, you don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and then you don't know if next week all of your plans are going to be thrown up in the air
again. Exactly. I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm not a denier or anything like that, but I was listening to some stuff yesterday, and they're talking about the ways different countries are dealing with these things, and I'm not going to go down the controversial route, but I'm just not sure.
It's about Sweden. It's about Sweden, isn't it? So.
Always
bloody
a
Sweden.
A little bit about Sweden, but I know it's a different kettle of fish, but...
Sweden's like that mate that everyone hates because they're always good at everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone wrong. It has gone wrong a little bit wrong, hasn't it, recently? But it does just seem to be, and I don't want to tempt fate, but it does seem to be killing, I don't know either.
I've got friends in Sweden, and trouble is I don't want to do the kind of thing where you go, you're in Sweden, what's it like?
What's it like, yeah. How are you dealing with it?
You're Swedish, what do you know?
What do you know? Tell us everything,
explain it to me, like write an essay for me right now.
Yeah.
And make it really clear and coherent so I understand it.
Yeah.
So I haven't done that.
No, I don't know, it's tricky, isn't it? I just don't think, I don't know, everybody, it was going to be difficult for whoever was in charge to deal with this. I don't vote Tory, and I never would, but I just don't think they've dealt with it that great. You know, I personally don't. I just think there's been too many things going on.
Flippy flappy, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's been too woolly in the beginning, but I know people disagree, and that's fair enough, and that's just the way it is, but... You know, Cummings incident, that's what did it for me. That is the turning point, him doing what he did when we were all, you know, we were all obeying the rules, and then he does that. And that kind of flicked a switch in my head at that point. And I was thinking, why the fuck are we all, you know, man can do that? And I'm not looking for anyone's job to go or whatever, but just... at least to stick to the rules.
It's the whole, I think the American phrase, doubling down.
Yeah, exactly what they did, wasn't it?
The British way is if you get caught, you go, yeah, it's a fair cop.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry, won't happen again.
But it wasn't, was
it? You can choose to fall on your sword or not, and then the press and the media have a field day and they're, you know, whatever, you forget the media, just kind of fess up.
Just be honest about it. Just say, oh, okay, I made, you know.
It was a big mistake, I'm really sorry. We all get on with our
lives? It was just the sheer arrogance of it, and that kind of sort of did it for me. And I'm sure it probably did it for a lot of other people, and it probably didn't help with some of these people, the mask of deniers, and that could have even seeded that thought in a few people's heads. Well, you know, why am I bothering? I wear a mask. I've got a snood on now that I've always got. You know, I've always got a snood on that I can
do that
mask up with, purely because I don't want to make anybody else ill. You know, whether this is right or wrong or whatever, I'm doing what the general consensus is the correct way of dealing with it. You know, because I'd like to think I'm a decent human being.
Well,
you know.
I think you're the best you've got.
Best
so.
I've got. I'm not going to. Yes, I'm trying to work on it, but you know, bits of me keep falling off, and not falling off, but breaking and whatnot, but. Speaking of which, anxiety, there's a word for you.
Anxiety. How's
that? Here's a thing. I never realised.
Yeah, go on.
This is probably going down a bit of a... that I was sort of feeling like I was at the top of a roller coaster constantly. Mm-hmm. And I actually asked a health professional, you know, asked a doctor, is this normal? Is this the way that you should feel? And it's something that I've always felt really. And I'm oversharing or whatever, but... So you take a test online, you do a test, a tick, you know, whatever, and it comes out that I'm suffering with severe anxiety. Now, it might have something to do with what's going on, or it might not. So anyway, consequently, I'm trying this CBT, this cognitive behavioural therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really difficult to get my head around, to be honest with you, because I almost said to the girl that's, you know, it's not working, and she put it to me. She said, well, what hand do you write with? I said, well, my right hand is. She said, well, you imagine if I told you right with your left hand, how would you be with that?
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I guess I'd struggle, wouldn't I? So, yeah, so it's just trying. It's just a matter of trying to get thinking, not positive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know all about this as well. It's not trying to think positive thoughts. It's just trying to look at things differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trouble with a lot of this stuff is that we're brought up to believe that kind of admitting things like that or whatever is weakness,
yeah.
which is stupid.
Yeah.
But there you go. It's all right. This is coming up very loud, so I'm just going to move it down there and see if it makes it any quieter. We'll see. Keep talking.
Yeah.
But are you feeling any better?
It's a difficult one to tell, isn't it? It's sort of, am I less anxious? Maybe a bit. But it's just, you know, like I say, we're just work in progress, I guess. But I've only mentioned that because it might have been something that's come from this. Not knowingly.
No, just pull yourself together.
Exactly. That's kind of what I said to myself, to be honest with you.
Sort yourself out.
Bloody pull your socks up and get on with it, you bloody idiot. What's wrong with you? But it doesn't work. Tend to work. It doesn't. It just doesn't make that feeling. You know, it's just different ways of looking at things. But this doesn't help, I don't think. You know.
No, and I really feel for. I mean, I was lucky to have my several midlife crises out of the way before COVID hit.
Yeah.
But I'm a great believer that, without getting too deep into whatever, a lot of it boils down to the fact we are just machines.
Yeah.
And we're biochemical machines.
Yeah.
And we're good at this stuff up to a certain level.
Yeah.
And after that level, so I have something that's called the wherewithalometer.
Yeah.
Which is it's really stupid, but essentially, I'm reminded of that scene in Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
where they're in the garbage crusher.
Yeah.
And for a long period in that scene, they're all right.
Yeah.
And it's only when they're kind of right at the top and they've right got 2 inches left.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when panic really
hits.
I think the problem with modern society is it crushes and crushes.
Yeah.
And makes it much more likely that you're going to be in that last 2 inches of kind of oxygen.
Before you start.
And so we're all like kind of startled deer all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't healthy. So that is just so bloody draining.
Yeah.
It's so draining.
That is the thing. It's tiring, isn't it? If you're at a heightened state of whatever, it does sort of wear you down. As it were. But maybe that's possibly why I found it difficult to get started on anything. Maybe.
What? Because you're massively anxious.
Yeah. Not without knowing it.
Barking at your
ears. Yeah, exactly. So it's not making it about that. It's just, that's just something that sort of occurred during what's gone on. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Christ, you imagine if it was, when the initial lockdown happened, if the weather wasn't as glorious as it was. I mean, people would have really been terrible being stuck in flats in central London or wherever. Well, imagine that. I mean, because we're really very lucky, aren't we? Because we
so lucky. We've been able to go out for walks.
Yeah. Stuff we like live that. In the Cotswolds, don't we? So it's
just miles away from everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
The hill behind where we live here,
mm.
there's no one on it. Zero. Yeah. I could go and walk the dog there. Again, with lockdown, it's great to have a dog because you have to take the dog out.
Really got
to
go out, yeah.
But I could go out probably for an hour or 2 hours and not see anybody.
No.
There's genuinely no one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one more dog walker or something like that.
Yeah.
And my heart goes out to people that aren't so fortunate.
No. So as we approach, I don't know, maybe is it going to be second lockdown? I don't know what's going on, really. I'm just hoping that. Thing is, we saw yesterday, day previous, what day were we on Friday? So on Wednesday, that there was a Prime Minister's, he did a conference, didn't he? And they sat out all what was going on, and it was all more doom and gloom, basically. And then yesterday morning, it was the virus isn't spreading as quickly as they think. Yeah. So you're just constantly in a state of flux. You don't know what's going on. You don't know, you know, I mean, who do you believe without it becoming a massive conspiracy thing, you know? Who do you believe, really? I mean, some of these scientists have been proven to be, one of the main advisors I heard yesterday has been proven to be wrong on a lot of, like, swine flu. I can't remember his name, so I'm not going to go into it. But one of them wanted us locked down for swine flu, and one of them, he wanted it, this specific guy. And I was thinking, well, and they're still listening to him. Still listening to this guy. I'll have to find out and maybe say.
I think that there's a lot that we don't know that is going on. I understand that there's a whole bunch of behavioural psychologists involved as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're trying to get 60 million people to all do the same thing,
yeah,
you're going to, of course, you can say, hey, everybody, you know,
yeah,
start walking backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And or whatever. That, yeah. So you can be direct.
Yeah.
But equally, I think they're testing out.
Covertly, sort of.
So how about we try really upsetting one group of people in the part of the country we don't care about so much. sorry, Newcastle. And
Liverpool.
And that will keep those nice people in Surbiton in check.
Yeah.
And they'll all go, oh, well, of course, we wouldn't be like those people in... But and then the greater populace will cause, I'm not saying that that's actually happened, obviously.
No, but it's all
psychological tricks. So it's kind of, okay, let's blame the young. Let's really piss off the students.
Smash the young.
And who of course deserve it because they're young and and we're just jealous.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, I don't fully understand how this so if you're a student right now, you can essentially be locked in,
I know,
into a building that you're only renting,
I know,
and be told that you're not allowed to leave. I don't even understand how that's legal.
No, I don't either, and I don't think I don't honestly, if I was that age, I don't think I'd follow it either. I mean, I just don't think I would, because you'd just go, wouldn't you just wouldn't pay any attention to it.
Takes me back to getting, knotting the sheets together. And
well, that's what you do in it as a kid or a young adult.
Well, it was lighter then. Needed less sheets.
Float out the window. I know, it's all a bit, anyway, this is in danger of becoming the COVID, but it is a COVID podcast, isn't it? It's sort of.
Covertly the COVID,
because it's what everybody bloody, it's just everywhere, isn't it? You can't, I say, turn the TV on this morning, and the leader of the free world, or whatever you want to call him, is, you know, he's probably got the best form of COVID ever, and he's, you know, he's going to deal with it in the best way, and
winning at COVID,
and it's going to be nothing. He's going to kick its ass, and he's going to come back, or it might not. You know, the next poll we do, he might be.
I'm sure he'll be all right.
Yeah,
be all right. He'll certainly have some good treatment.
Oh yeah, he'll have the best. A bit like our.
He'll have the best bleach.
Our prime minister. Yeah, I hope he's not trying to inject himself with bleach, for God's sake.
But anyway, mustn't not be afflicted. But
does.
So to speak, what I was going to say before you brought up the big Cheeto was that's what's it in America. The phrasing was, my whole policy, my whole plan right the way through is just not to be that guy.
Yeah.
I.e. the person that flaunts around and makes a mockery of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because to me, the whole thing's just about risks. So ultimately, if I'm out walking the dog and I pass someone, it's going to be all right.
Yeah. You
know? It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
If I'm out for a run, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
If I'm hanging around in bars with 30 other people,
it's possibly not going to be right.
So I tend to.
But you've got to weigh it up.
I tend to avoid, you know, closed environments with strangers.
I think you're like sitting in a kitchen with someone that's.
Yeah, that's why I added with strangers.
I am 2 meters away from you.
You are
ish.
It's meter plus.
Meter plus, yeah. I'm definitely over a meter away from
And you can't even see the sheet of Perspex we've got between us.
No, it's quite good, actually, John. I like this. It's a bit weird having it in your kitchen. I don't know why. Is this a family? Is this something you do?
It's the first thing I invested in once on you.
Yeah. Oh, because yeah. Was there everywhere? Why have you got Perspex everywhere between everywhere? Some weird sort of games going on.
But yeah, you clean it enough and it just looks
You can't
invisible.
See it. It is brilliant. It is almost like it's not there.
Perspex sales must have gone through the roof.
It must have done, yeah. I was just going back through our pods, and I listened to the one that we did in the local hardware store, and it actually made me laugh. But just going back through,
a classic.
Yeah, just being able to walk through amongst people and not wear masks, and
we were going to do a whole series like that.
Yeah, I don't think we'd be able to. Well, although we've got to stand apart from each other, we've got enough cable anyway.
We could do it again. It was kind of like this. So here we are in another shop.
Yeah.
People are looking at us strangely.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Just. I don't know.
Well, I think
we've
covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
And I'd like to pick up on something you said earlier, which is just it's getting you down, just face that.
Definitely.
And remember, you're only human. That's my advice to the world.
Yeah, 100%. If you're feeling a bit anxious about things, there's no shame in going and asking someone or going and talking to somebody, to especially if you are feeling a bit more than anxious.
I'm starting to feel that at the end of this podcast we should have something that says, if any of the issues happened,
you're saying that affected you.
Have affected you.
You can.
Samaritans are great.
Samaritans, yeah.
Maybe you should be giving some money to them.
Yeah, not that I've ever called them, but I have actually given the phone number out to one or two people that I know that I think would benefit from them, because they were sort of at the end of their tether. And would think the good thing about those is apparently they will, any time of the day you can just phone up. There's no judgment, by all accounts, and they'll talk to you. And I've had that on good authority from someone that I know.
A friend of mine works for them. Lester.
Yeah, that must be difficult doing that job. It's a bit like being a social worker, isn't it? But you just take it. You've got to take all that on board. And
you get the thick end of the wedge, don't you?
And then who do you talk to? I suppose. But then, difficult job. Difficult job. But very, 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 very worthwhile. And I would say that to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they come home and someone says, "How was your day, darling?"
Do you really want to know? Does anybody ever tell that, when you get asked that question, does anybody ever actually say how your day was, truly?
Oh, yeah, I had a really crap day.
And then by that time they stop listening.
So then it got, by 10 past 10 I was really quite knackered.
Yeah.
But then. So anyway, what do you want me to eat?
Yeah. So the last thing I'll say is, on music is Laura Marling. Did you ever listen to
her? No, I have not listened to her. Mate. But she's good.
Did you see the prom she did?
She's any profoundly good. No, not yet. No, so I watched a whole bunch of YouTube. I think it was your recommendation previously.
Yeah. Laura Marling, Songs for Our Daughter.
That's what I listened to.
Absolutely stunning album.
Yeah, it is.
And I think it should have won the Mercury this year, really. I like Kiwanuka or Michael. It's a great album, but I think Laura Marling's was better. But that's, from my perspective. And the prom that she did is still on the iPlayer, I think, which is really good as well. It's just her. Well, I say just her. It's just her in part of it, but then there's her with the orchestra as well. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good. Very good. And she's a hell of a songwriter. She microdoses mushrooms, apparently.
Does she?
Yes. That's to help. That wasn't to... I think that was to help with her mental health, I think, going down that way. But there's a microdose, not going out to your back. Because I'm sure if you went out into the hills behind you, I'm sure you could pick a few. I'm not sure it's the right time of year, but...
I know a bloke that used to do that. He was a fun guy.
Fun guy.
I'm so sorry. I literally, that's why I didn't say anything for a while. I was trying to work something out.
No idea. I've never done anything like that. I'm too scared.
There's a lot of foraging to be had around here.
Yeah, I wouldn't forage. Honestly, I wouldn't. Would you do it? Would you go?
My mum used to pick mushrooms.
Really?
I thought we were winding this up.
Sorry, I know, it's just coming to me. I know, but mushrooms.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, your average mushroom, it just looks like a mushroom.
It kind of does, but your average poisonous mushroom can just look like a mushroom as well. It can cause all sorts of kidney damage.
Yeah, but
if
it's got weird spots underneath.
Not always, is it? It's
apart from the ones that haven't.
That haven't. I mean, if it's red with white spots.
In France, you can take them to a chemist. So you do your
okay, I
harvesting
suppose
you, your mushrooms, and then you take them into the chemist, and they go, that one.
Because there have been several cases of people actually poisoning themselves, haven't they? Really,
you
really.
You try a little bit and see how you go.
That's when you have a food taster. You're going back to that time. Do you carry a food taster around with you? Have you got somebody that... you got a minion.
He's very small.
Here, try this. Come back to me in half hour, tell me how you feel. Is that how you roll?
Yes,
okay. So that's right, it's not normal. Yeah, okay, all right. So on that note, do you want to...
Should we wrap up?
Yeah, I'll wrap up, yeah.
All right. Should we try and do this again before a year's time?
I think we should do, yeah.
All right.
I'm working this way. So
it was quite cathartic.
Yes, it was, yes. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, John.
No worries.
Good to see you again.
You want to get the last word in again, don't you?
Ever.
Always.
Always.
Yeah. Crying out loud.